Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to look at the first four verses of this chapter as we continue our series on facing your future with faith and not fear. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, there you will find these words. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat appeared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Amen. God bless you. May he bless the reading, the hearing, and especially the doing of his word. You may be seated in his presence today. Facing your future with faith and not fear. On last Sunday, we looked at the children of Israel and the fear that overwhelmed them because they had made God mad. And God promised them that they would end up in captivity. And we said that they, in a real sense, they needed to be afraid because they were disobedient, they were stubborn, amen, they were hard-headed, guess what, just like us. And because of all of their bad ways, God said, I'm going to let you end up captive. Amen. Now, that's reason to be afraid when God, amen, says you're going to end up in a bad situation. But even in the midst of what was coming, the captivity that they would be held in, God gave them reason, even in that, to not be afraid. And I wanted to come again this morning, my brothers and sisters, and tell you and remind you that God does not want you to live in fear. If you were here last Sunday, you remember that God consoled them by telling them that even in their captivity, he would be with them. God said this. God said, you don't have to be afraid even in your struggles, even in your pain, even in your tribulation, even when I brought you to it. God said, because number one, I created you. He says, I formed you. He says, I redeemed you, and I called you by my name. Amen. And if that was good enough for Israel, tell your neighbor it's good enough for me. Come on, how many of you can testify that I'm God's creation? Amen. How many of you can testify that he formed me? He's forming me. Amen. How many of you can testify that he redeemed me? And if you know that he knows you by name, then you ought to rejoice in this place. I told you last week that you don't have to ever wonder about where fear comes from, because we know clearly, and the Bible teaches us, that fear is not of God. As a matter of fact, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says that for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So then we're left to conclude that if fear is not from God, then it must be from our enemy, the devil. Amen. Amen. It must be from that low down, dirty devil. Y'all, fear is an immobilizer. You can expect to do no great work for God if you're operating in fear.
you can expect to do no great kingdom work. As a matter of fact, even your own endeavors will suffer if you wake up with fear in your heart and in your mind. Fear is an immobilizer. Several of these ministers, those of y'all who came with me to Dallas, that's been a few years ago. Y'all remember that? We went to the National Congress in Dallas, and I think I listened to y'all and parked in that parking lot and didn't pay because I think y'all told me, amen, it was after hours, and y'all didn't tell me that? Well, anyhow, we parked in that parking lot there in Dallas at the convention center, and we had good church up in there. We had a hallelujah good time. But when we got out to my truck to load up and go on our way, there was this orange thing, Brother Tinsley, hooked on my tire called a boot. And that boot immobilized my vehicle. Now watch this. I had the keys. It was full of gas. Wasn't nothing wrong with the motor. As a matter of fact, we could have sat in it and listened to music, but we couldn't go nowhere because it had been immobilized. And I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, that fear will immobilize you. You can be full of the anointing. You can be saved by grace. You can possess the gifts of God for ministry, but fear will keep you from moving forward for the kingdom of God. That's why the Lord has laid this on my heart, because, y'all, we're living in the last times, and the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few, and a lot of the workers are few because a lot of us are operating in fear. Tell your neighbor, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Amen. In our text today, we find that Jehoshaphat, who is leading the children of Israel, they receive a bad word. These messengers come and tell Jehoshaphat that he and the children of Israel and the children of Judah are about to be attacked by the Ammonites and the Moabites. Now watch this. Both of these nations were their enemies. And how many of you know you got some enemies? Now it's bad enough when you got one enemy, but it's really bad when your enemies get together against you. And that will happen in this life, amen. But I've come by to tell you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Amen. Amen. Now, what's interesting to me is when you look at verse 3, it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared." Here he is afraid. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to the previous chapter. Turn to chapter 19 and look at verse 11. Because in chapter 19 and verse 11, you find that Jehoshaphat has appointed all of these judges, and in a real sense, he's charging them. He's giving them their marching orders. He's telling them how they ought to lead, amen, in their positions. Verse 11, it says, "And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's masters. Matters. Also, the Levites shall be officers before you." Now, listen to his remarks. At the close of chapter 19, look at what he says. He says, "Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good." In the close of chapter 19, he's telling these people that he's appointed, don't live in fear. Be strong, be courageous. Because God is going to be with you if you're about good. Amen. And then in the very next chapter, is there anybody here who understands that when you step out on faith, that when you speak something by faith, that God will allow the enemy to come in and put what you say you believe to a test? See, because it's easy to talk about what kind of faith you got when you got money in your bank account. It's easy to talk about the level of faith that you have when you know where your next meal is coming from, when your children are acting right, when your marriage is all right. Amen. It's easy to brag and boast about your level of faith, but I've come by to tell you to be careful, because the Lord will allow your faith to be put to the test. How many of you remember Abraham? Come here, Abraham. You've got that son that you've waited on, amen, but I'm going to put it to the test. Do you love me more than you love that son? Take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, and offer him up as a sacrifice. And you Bible readers know that he was ready to take the life of his only son, but the angel of God said, hold it, Abraham. It's only a test. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God will test your faith. And I'm glad, you know, in college and in school, I hated tests, and I think most of us, you know, really hated tests. But when you understand the value of a test, you appreciate the test. Because the test is designed to prove whether or not you learn what you've been sitting in class listening to. The test is designed to determine whether or not you comprehend the stuff you've been reading. And I don't know about you, but I want my faith to stand the test. Is there anybody here who wants your faith to stand a test? Amen. What faith, Pastor? My faith that says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My faith that says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want my faith to stand the test. My faith that says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I want my faith to stand the test. My faith that says that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, but by his stripes I'm healed. Is there anybody here who knows, amen, that when you trust God, when you have faith in God, he'll make a way for you? God will put your faith to the test. Verse 3. Jehoshaphat shows us how to face our future with faith and not fear. Look at verse 3. He shows us. It's right here in verse 3 of chapter 20. Look at it. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Now, there could be a period there, but there isn't a period there. There's what? There's a comma. Look at how he processes this whole fear thing. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared, but he didn't stop there. He kept it moving. Tell your neighbor, he kept it moving. It says, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And then verse 4 says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. What you will see there in those two verses are what I call the accoutrements of worship. The accoutrements of worship. Accoutrement, that's a fancy French word that simply means the accessories or the trappings or the things that ought to go along with something. And so when I say the accoutrements of worship, I'm telling you that instead of running in fear, Jehoshaphat employed what he knew about worship. Look at it. The first thing he did, he sought the Lord. Somebody's up in here today, you didn't come to see nobody. You didn't come caring whether anybody spoke to you or not, but you're in a situation. And y'all remember I told you last week that when the Bible makes reference to waters, it's talking about a situation that is designed by God to promote you or to elevate you. And how you know what waters are is any situation that you're in that has the ability to drown you. So whenever you find yourself in a situation that has the propensity, has the potential to take you out of here, tell your neighbors, you're in waters. Amen. But in our lesson last week, God said, even in the waters, amen, they won't overwhelm you. You won't drown, amen, because God is sending it to promote you, to elevate you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so the first thing he does is he seeks the Lord. Worship requires seeking God. If you came here this morning and seeking God wasn't on your agenda, you didn't come to worship. You came to socialize. You came to see your friends and your buddies. Amen. You came to see what somebody had on. If seeking God wasn't on your itinerary this morning, I assure you, you didn't come to worship him. Where are my folk who came seeking God this morning? God, if I can just see your face. Ooh. There's something calming about being in the presence of God. Worship requires seeking God. Don't you hear David say, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help? Don't you hear the Bible, Jesus saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? Don't you hear the psalmist saying, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you, God. I've come in here seeking your face. I've come in here to get in your presence. God, I've come to worship you. That's the first accoutrement of worship, is you got to seek God. But not only does the Jehoshaphat seek the Lord, is secondly, it says he proclaimed a fast. Whew. Now you can look at some of us and tell that fasting ain't, you know, something we do often. But the good news is, and let me say this to the folk, because some folk think that fasting only pertains to food. But when you read in your Bibles, and you ought to jot this down, you ought to jot down Isaiah chapter 58. Because in Isaiah chapter 58, God tells his people the kind of fast that really moves his heart. And it ain't got nothing to do with food. In Isaiah chapter 58, amen, you'll find the kind of fast that really gets God's attention, and it has nothing to do with you abstaining from food. When you look at it in your own private time, you will find out in Isaiah chapter 58 that God says the kind of fast that moves me is when you take homeless folk off the street. Now watch this. It don't say take them to the shelter. It says bring them in your house. God said, if you want to move me, that's the kind of fast that moves me. God says, the kind of fast that moves me is that if you're in a position of authority or a position of power, when you help take the foot off of people's neck, people who are oppressed, people who are downtrodden, people who are being mistreated, God said, that's the kind of fast that moves me. But all I want you to see here this morning is that in Jehoshaphat proclaiming a fast, he reaches the conclusion that some situations require more than ordinary worship. A lot of us are experts on ordinary worship. But God says, amen, amen. Jehoshaphat says, if I'm going to move the heart of God, I got to move beyond the ordinary. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verses 14 through 21. When you find it, say amen. It says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Whew, thank you, God. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Here it is in verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Is there anybody here who's, you've been in a situation so tight that you understand what Jehoshaphat is talking about here? You understood, amen, you understand that just 11 o'clock worship wasn't enough to get you through that thing. You understand, amen, that you need to get to prayer meeting. You needed to get to Bible study. You needed to pray in the morning and pray at noonday. Come on, where are my folk who've been through some stuff? And you realize that the only way you got the victory in that situation is that you went beyond ordinary. You got into the supernatural. You said, Lord, if you don't help me, I ain't gonna make it. Come on, where are my people who can testify? You've got to go beyond. Sometimes, see, a lot of us are too cute to get a breakthrough. A lot of us are trying to be too fancy to get a breakthrough. But one thing I know is that if the situation gets tight enough, you will come up in here and not worry about who's looking at you. You'll kick your shoes off if you have to. You'll let that weave get twisted. You don't care. Amen. You'll let the mascara run. You'll kick your shoe. You'll run down the aisle if you have to. Come on, where are my folk who have ever needed a breakthrough? And you realize that plain old ordinary praise ain't going to do it. Amen. Plain old ordinary worship. And this is a word to somebody today that's going through something. And you're thinking about giving up. And you're thinking about throwing in the towel. Now is the time to take the mask off and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I need a breakthrough. God, whatever I have to do, I need deliverance. God, whatever you have to do, come on, come on, come on. Give him praise in this place. And then that next verse, verse 4 says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. That's another accoutrement of worship. You better know something about prayer. Come on, where are my people who know that prayer changes things? Prayer changes things. Now, there's another aspect of worship that we see here, and it's kind of veiled. We're going to see it more clearly after the victory. But I want you to see that even before the victory, praise is in here. All right, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, and Jehoshaphat, and really, y'all, it should be Yehoshaphat, Yehoshaphat. But anyway, Jehoshaphat is the way we're saying it. He stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Y'all see praise in there? Somebody missed it. Let me read it again. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Let me help you. In that 100th number of Psalms, it says that if you want to get into the gates of God, all you need is thanksgiving. But if you want to get into the courts where God resides, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Is there anybody here that understands that if you want to get in the house with God, amen, you've got to know something about praise? As a matter of fact, the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. If you want to find where God is, find where praise is going on. If you're really seeking to get God to come into your life, to come into your home, to come into your family, to come into your situation, I dare you, I double dare you to employ the accoutrement of worship that we call praise. I don't know about you, but I cannot understand worship apart from praise. Where are my praises at? Where are my people who don't mind telling God how good he is? And you need to understand that you don't have to wait till the battle is over. You can shout now. I tell you that even before Jehoshaphat got what he wanted from God, he went in there before he asked God anything. He went in praising. That's what's wrong with some of us. We don't want to praise God because we say, I can't sing and I don't know music. Amen. But I come by to tell you today, you don't have to know a note of music to give God praise. Can I tell you how to get praise started? Just start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, and praise will break out. You might be in the wrong key, but praise will break out. You may be in the wrong note, amen, but praise will break out. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, praise will break out. Tell your neighbor, you can shout now. Amen, amen, amen. Why could he shout before the victory? Amen. Why could he shout before the victory? I believe it's because he had a faith file. He had an experience with God. Y'all, if you don't have a faith file, you're missing out. Amen. Because guess what? You may win the battle today, but the devil ain't going to stop. Amen. He's going to come. Whatever battles you won in 2016, don't fool yourself. The devil ain't retired. I know you retired, but the devil ain't retired. He's still on his J-O-B. And I can assure you that when the time is right, he's going to come and try to wreak havoc in your life. Amen. He hasn't given up. So you better have a faith file. Ooh, I thank God I've got a faith file, y'all. Every time that low-down, dirty rascal, the devil, brings havoc into my life and tries to get me in fear and anxiety, you know what I do? I go and pull out my faith file. My faith files, in A, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. I can go to B where it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I can go to C where it says, come ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can go to D where it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I can go to E where it says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. I can go to F where it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down. I can go to G where it says, great is thy faithfulness. I can go to H where it says, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. I can go to I where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go to J where it says, Jesus saves. I can go to K. Is there anybody? You've got a faith file. Come on and thank God for what he's already done. Tell you, I've got a faith file. Whenever we're faced with fear and anxiety, the first thing we normally do is try to figure out how we're going to fix it. Come on, don't get all spiritual now. You know, when you get in trouble, before you go to God, as a matter of fact, some of us go to doctors, we go to lawyers, we go to our friends, we go to family, all that, then we sit and try to figure out how we're going to work it out. But somebody said that while we're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. Do y'all know what I like about God? Amen. I like about God, I like this, that, you know, sometimes we have our ideas because we depend upon our intellect to try to figure a situation out. But God will let us toy with it for a little while, and then he'll step in and say one little sentence that just blows our mind. Look at what happened. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. It says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is the messenger that God sent to Jehoshaphat. Amen. After they prayed, after they worshiped, amen. God sent a messenger to them to tell them this. It says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, because the battle ain't even yours. You've been wasting time and effort and energy trying to figure out how you're going to work it out. And God steps in the room and says, you can put all that up because this ain't your battle. This one belongs to me. And is there anybody here today, if you can just hear God say in the midst of your fight, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of that you're going through, that you've been losing sleep over, that you've been having to take pills to try to make it through, and God is stepping in the room to tell you that ain't even your fight. You may as well go sit down somewhere. The battle belongs to God, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I know that if the battle belongs to God, it's going to be all right. Tell your neighbor it's going to be all right.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, Phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.